I know, our minds are a little blown.
Yeah, really. I think we're, Jess and I are like, okay, first, when do we make the appointment to come see you?
Yeah.
Second, how?
I'm not waiting till menopause for this.
No.
Hello, ladies.
Hey, ladies, and welcome back to Herspective, and happy new year. I know we're almost 2 weeks in with this, our first episode of 2021, but still happy new year to everybody.
And it's like when, you know, when you go back to work and then everyone for, you know, an indefinite amount of time starts off every email like with happy new year. Like, at what point in January do you stop saying that?
Oh my God, I literally had a client ask me that. Like, when is it okay to stop saying Happy New Year? So I feel like after a week.
Well, have you?
Yeah, I've stopped, totally. But the thing is, when you haven't spoken to someone yet in the new year, I feel like it's just a courteous greeting, like to say, well, Happy New Year.
Well, I used to have a coworker who would do it well into February.
I think that's a bit much.
Fuck.
That's excessive. It's
dramatic. We might as well just be saying Merry Christmas still.
Well, I do need to just say, though, because this is my one of my biggest pet peeves, is it is Happy New Year, not Happy New Years. So, listeners, we love you all. But if you are one of those people that say Happy New Years, please stop. So here's like a little bit of help going into 2022 when we get there. Just say Happy New Year. It is 1 year. It's not plural. Please, for the love of God. I need everyone to stop doing that because my brain might explode.
Yeah. Just think about what you're saying. We're not like, you know, greeting all of the years in all of the world. It's like the single year. It's just 1 year.
It's just the one.
You know what? And I don't even know if I should mention this because it could bring us on a whole new level of tangent. But it's like when people say supposedly. Supposedly. Like, what the fuck language are you speaking?
Well, I mean, I feel like we could do a whole episode on all the things that people shouldn't say.
That's what I mean. There's a plethora of things that make you sound so dumb. And I know I'm probably not even one to talk because I cannot, for the life of me, like, get out a saying.
Well,
ever.
It's a new year, new you, Jess. Like, you're going to be able to just, like, you know, get those memes out that you're referring to and you're going to kill it. You're going to ace the first one you try.
I appreciate the support. I know you're very wrong about this, but thank you nonetheless.
Okay, well, I'm going into 2021 with nothing but positivity, if you haven't noticed.
I love it. Thank you.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we needed some positivity.
Hope everybody had a fantastic Christmas, holidays, whatever you celebrate. Obviously, it probably looked very different for all of you, most of you, I know it did for us, but we really were grateful to be able to have the time to fully disconnect. I mean, we got to really unplug from our devices and like walk away from what would normally be our obligations. And we were like able to spend real time with family and friends and also just spend time doing literally nothing. Like there were a couple days that I didn't get out of my pajamas. My whole family, we just lazed around. Like, it was perfect. It was exactly what I needed. And I do actually feel really refreshed going into 2020 and, like, ready for what this year's going to bring.
I think that was kind of like a blessing in disguise because even though, of course, Christmas and the holidays were super different and for some people, like, you know, for all of us, it was really sad not seeing our families and that really sucks. But like you said, we had that time to decompress and disconnect. And a lot of the times, you know, and my birthday is on the 28th, as I can't squeeze in enough. But all those days in the Christmas break are like so busy and it's fun and it's amazing. But this year was really, you know, made able to relax. So normally I don't really go into the new year feeling like refreshed. I feel like almost tired and you know, happy tired because it was a lot of fun, but totally not relaxed. And that's what it was this year, which is a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I wasn't as anxious about like going back to work and starting everything anew. However, virtual school did throw a little bit of a wrench into like heading into 2021 like fresh you know?
Of course.
It's kind of crazy. It's definitely a ride that I'm already ready to get off of, and it's only been 1 week. So
I know, you've already shipped half your kids out.
Yeah, I mean, it's for everybody's benefit, let's be real. I know all the other parents out there are just like, what the F is this? Like,
I know.
And honestly, I have to say, though, I commend the teachers. I mean, they're doing fantastic. The kids are engaged. They're having fun. So I'm really, really grateful for all the teachers that are just like doing their thing and making it work.
Adapting,
I know,
to
it's
this
not
shit.
Easy on them. Exactly. So all you teachers out there doing it, like, thank you, parents. I'm speaking for all the parents, like, we appreciate it, because literally we can't or couldn't do it without you, so please don't ever leave us, please.
Well,
I'm not mentally equipped
I know, and that's
this.
The thing, like, I always say, I like, it really does stress me out, like, imagining what you parents are going through when you're homeschooling, because even though you chose to have children, none of you were, unless you were, but no one's a teacher. And that is a different type of person to want to become a teacher. You know, it's not for everyone. So now here you are having to somehow fucking do that. And like, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not. That's all I have to say. It's the most selfish answer, but I can't help it. I'm just so happy that I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, the second round has been a little bit different because obviously they had some time and they understood that this was going to be put into place. So there is more of like a structure to the curriculum than when it kind of happened as an emergency situation the first time. So, I mean, there is more like scheduled classes and all of the teachers that they would normally have had are involved. So it has been a lot better. And again, like, you know, the school boards are doing the best they can. The teachers are, the kids are participating for the most part. They understand. Even like the little ones are like, you know, sitting there and watching their teachers teach. And yeah, so I mean, just everybody, good job, pat on the back for those that are living in that virtual school world right now. Because it's not easy, but we're all going to get through it and hopefully sooner than later.
She's convincing herself of this.
And that is exactly, like, I just have to keep, at night, I just like chant to myself, like, you can do this. It's going to be fine. We're going to get through this.
Oh my God, it's so sad. Sucks so much. I told you, I'm just so happy that I don't have to do it that I can't even, like, I can only respond with selfish answers. Like, thank God it's you and not me. I'm not equipped, right? You know me. I'd panic and be like, fuck this. You don't need to learn.
Well, we know how you handle high-stress situations. You just exit. You just
No, I would hope that I have a, like, supportive co-parent for them to pick up the entire bit of slack, because I certainly won't.
The entire thing.
Not just help out. Like, do it all.
So, yes. I mean, all that aside, I mean, there's first week of January has shown us some craziness. Our thoughts and hearts and everything going out to our U.S. friends and family and our guests that we've had. Yeah. I mean, you've had a bit of a...
Yeah, speaking of craziness.
Yeah, crazy first week over there. So we, you know, we're just sending you guys good vibes, and you've got a big change coming soon. So thank God, and hopefully... That's going to really trickle down through the world. Let's be real.
And hopefully people stop acting a fool down there.
Stop acting a damn fool, y'all. Okay?
Like,
just stop.
Idiots.
But on a more positive note, we have some really exciting news of our own to share for 2021.
Yeah. We're starting off the new year with a bang.
We really are. And ladies, you could get a real bang out of this.
I was going to see what you're going to do with that.
I have to do something.
I set it up. I just couldn't pull it off myself. So I was like, okay, let's see what she does.
Yeah. Well, you know me. So yes, very excited to share the news that we have a new product sponsor that has come on board. So we have joined forces, so to speak, with Vitality MD, which is founded by Dr. Sherry Kaplan and her team of medical experts. They focus on women's sexual health, well, women's health overall, really, but she specializes in different hormone treatments. She practices using more like standard and typical medicines, and as well as alternative treatments. So we connected with her, and she's actually our guest on the show today, which you're gonna love this episode. Oh my god, like it's a good one.
Yeah, it was super exciting to really cover a lot of the things that we covered, mostly, as you will see, because we were so like in the dark about it. And I just think it's kind of fucked that this is like what every single woman in the world goes through, and for some reason people are not like completely in the know about what to expect, or even when they're going through it, what to expect. And by it, I mean menopause and the changes that your body faces as a woman.
Yeah.
And I did want to just also say that Vitality MD also does treat men if you have any of these things, but we're a female podcast. We focus on the ladies, and we want to make sure all y'all are up there and improving your libidos if can.
Yeah. So just to give a little bit of history, Vitality MD offers two different types of treatments among many things, but the ones that we are focusing on today is called the O-Shot and Vivive. They are two different treatments that help with libido, urinary incontinence. So as a woman myself that has had a couple children, there's a few different symptoms that I've experienced post babies, and probably
we know about your leaking.
Yeah. Okay, well, like not all the time, first of all, but let me tell you, if I get a good sneeze on or a good cough, like, you know, you just never know what's going to happen.
Even a laugh.
Sometimes a laugh jumping. I know I'm not alone here. So this is going out to the women that can totally relate. And two of the treatments, as I mentioned, the O-Shot and Vivive, are designed to help with some of those issues. And obviously age plays a factor here. So I think, you know, one of the things that, and one of the reasons we wanted to talk to Dr. Kaplan is because, as you said, Jess, we're in the dark about a lot of stuff, about our own bodies, our own hormones, and the changes that happen at certain points in your life. Obviously, neither of us are near menopause yet, but when you get there, it's natural that the libido does decrease, and even prior to that, again, after you have children. So there is a huge like realm of knowledge that we didn't have, and Dr. Sherry really helped us understand it, and hopefully she will help you. But more exciting is we are offering you a promotion if you're interested in either the O-Shot or the Vivive. It is $100 off either treatment with promotional code HERSPECTIVE 100. So you can just go on vitalitymd.com and you can book there. You can set up a consultation with the Vitality MD medical experts. We're actually both interested in checking them out.
Oh yeah.
So once we do. Well,
that's the thing, because the O-Shot is certainly not just for older women or women that have already had children. It is for literally anyone. And actually, we first heard about it on Blake, from Peter and Blake in the mornings, well, now in the afternoons, but from Flow 93.5. And she went and got it. And she's not a mother. She's a young woman. It's for women that want to improve their orgasm and their ability to orgasm. And that's done with these hormones. And, you know, they strategically inject throughout the vagina and everything like that, which we do get into in this episode as well. So ladies, and this is something, like, I haven't had kids yet, but I'm certainly interested. Why not have an option to have a better orgasm? Even if you are having great orgasms, there's always room for better.
Yeah, and Dr. Kaplan really gets into that and explains how it all works and all of the benefits, because it's not just the orgasm, but we're not going to give that away because we want you to hear it from the doctor herself. And we are super excited to be able to offer this to any of you listeners that may be interested. And when Jess and I go for our consultation and hopefully get one of the treatments, I'm not actually sure which will be right for us because we haven't had our consultations yet, we will keep everybody posted.
I'm getting the O-Shot. No ifs, ands, or buts.
But ladies, honestly, like, there's been things out there for men for like over 25 years. We all know about Viagra, like the horrible commercials, and another reason why we wanted to do this episode in particular is because I think, you know, as women, society has kind of just like allowed us to just like think that this is it. You know, I've hit a certain age, I've had children, I'm in menopause, whatever the case is. Oh my.
You're not serving any more use. Who cares about your vagina? It's done its job.
You don't need pleasure anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe you never had it in the first place, which is like an actual horrible thought.
Sin.
But yeah, it's a sin. It's a sin. We want you to know that there is options and there is resources, and we want to normalize these conversations because it's absolutely nothing to be embarrassed of. You don't have control a lot of the time over the changes that goes on in your body. It's hormonal. So Dr. Kaplan and her team are here to help remedy that and help you bring back to life. And like, we're not just talking about sex. This is just orgasming overall too. Like, you don't need somebody else for that. All you need is just you, honey. So
yeah,
we're really, really, really passionate about this and really excited. And we just think it's so important that women do know that there are options and you don't have to live with
a shitty orgasm and a shitty libido.
Exactly.
So make sure you guys go check out Dr. Sherry Kaplan at vitalitymd.com and go have a consultation and see what works for you. And use your coupon code HERSPECTIVE100 to make it all the more affordable. We're doing our little part to help you guys have good orgasms.
Yes.
We'll do what it takes.
We want to be the reason that you have good orgasms.
Yeah. Do it for you, girls. So today we have Dr. Sherry herself on, and she is, as you mentioned, the medical director and founder of Vitality MD, which is the first physician-run integrative medical lifestyle center offering a personalized approach that is tailored to address patients' unique medical problems using both conventional and alternative treatment options. Say that 10 times twice. I mean, 10 times fast. I suck at sayings. But anyways, no, and that's something that we loved about her is that she did have like the real holistic approach. And also, as you mentioned, Laura, how she tests everything on herself, which is super cool. This lady is super stepped up for us girls and, you know, is really helping us out.
And she genuinely cares about fellow women and ensuring that the pleasure train doesn't stop after 25 or doesn't stop after you've had kids. So, I mean,
After you hit menopause.
Exactly.
Keep it going.
Yeah. And so seriously, take this episode. 2021 could be your year of many O's with the O shot or just great orgasms, like just everything. Yeah.
All around. So without further ado, Dr. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Sherry.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being here. We have a lot of really cool things to talk about to start off our podcast in the new year.
Yes, you're our first episode of 2021, so that's very exciting, and we are thrilled that it's you, and we're thrilled to be talking about what we're going to be talking about today. So first and foremost, let's have you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got into the field, and did you always want to be a doctor? Where did you get your start?
Yes, I always wanted to be a doctor ever, like, you know, when people, you know, kids were little, like, what do you want to do? It was want to be a doctor. But Amazing. Then as growing up, it, you know, there was like, oh, I could be a hairdresser. Oh, I could be an architect. Oh, I could do design. Like, I kind of had a flair for a lot of different things. But, you know, the calling to be a doctor was probably the most pronounced. And then also my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer late 30s, early 40s, and died by 44. So that really sort of affected me. You know, I was 19 at the time when she passed away. She was like my best friend. And, you know, so then from then on, like I want to be a doctor. I want to help people kind of thing. Also, the type of doctor. So, like, my specialty is women's health. Although I do everything, and then I started getting into integrative medicine since about 2010, and a lot of people don't really understand what that is. But essentially, it's sort of looking at root causes and how also, at least the way I look at it, is how our environment interacts with our genes and what can we do to upregulate good genes and downregulate the bad stuff.
Ooh, so that's fascinating. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so. We are part of that, most people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that's where, you know, so there's not many physicians like me around. So I'm kind of like the MD, naturopath, life coach, environmental medicine, holistic, all rolled into one.
Love that.
I feel like that's the best kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's where like my visits like are an hour long, or, you know, the shortest visit's a half an hour. So very different. And mm-hmm. I was fortunate when I practiced that, you know, my husband made all the money and I did this for fun. So, and then, you know, with time. So what started me on my journey of what I'm doing now was that when I was perimenopausal, I started having all these hormonal issues, like my brain not working, my libido, like it was like a light switch just got turned off. And, you know, I loved my husband, but like things changed and my brain wasn't working. I was someone who, I have to say, I was a little brilliant. Like I was a doctor by the age of 24. You know, so I learned something, knew something, did something, you know, very quickly. And then all of a sudden it was like, what did I read? Or like had to start writing things down. So for me, that was like a big change. And a lot of women don't understand that that's perimenopause and hormonal related.
So first, what is perimenopause?
So perimenopause is that transition time between regular cycling and stopping. Okay. And most people think of it as like 2 years, maybe five, but it actually may be 12 to 15 years before you're actually in menopause. So perfect example is I didn't stop my periods till I was 53, 54. So, you know, I'm older than that.
We couldn't tell.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Can't tell.
And then in my 40s is like, you know, that story when all of a sudden the light switch got turned off and my brain wasn't like all of that started, you know, in my early 40s. So it's been a long time. And, you know, it kind of first, you know, when my patients came in and talked to me about these symptoms, it was like, oh, you're not eat like, you know, because weight was a big thing and energy. It was like, oh, you're not eating right. You're not exercising right. You know, and you know, when it started happening to me and I knew I was eating right and exercising right, it was like, oh, must be hormones. And then so that started me on the journey because it was also around the same time that the WHI came out, the Women's Health Initiative, that talked about how hormones increases a woman's risk of breast cancer. And the last thing I wanted to do was increase my risk.
Of course.
But also I knew the research prior to the WHI showing how there was a difference in progesterone versus a progestin, and one was very helpful and one wasn't, and one definitely increased your risk of breast cancer. And so when I stood up in front of a meeting that had, you know, hundreds and, you know, doctors, and sort of said, wait a minute, weren't there these studies, the, you know, the PEPI trial, this study and that study showing that natural progesterone was very different than Provera? And, you know, I said, has there been a study now showing that they're all the same? And they were like, no. And then I went, wait a minute, but you're telling every family doctor, gynecologist that they are, and they increase women's risk of breast cancer, you know? So then that for me was like a pivotal moment. It was like, okay, I really need to learn more. And that's what started me I went to the US, started, you know, taking courses on bioidentical hormones. And that's a whole lecture in itself about why bioidentical hormones are different than regular ones. And people mistake bioidentical as natural. So no, the hormones are still made up and they're synthetic. But when you look under a microscope, they're the same molecule as what we made. And when we replace those don't increase the women's risk. I mean, we all have risk when we take anything. So to think that nothing has risk is
naive. It's false.
So there's ways to do it, like what to take and ways to do it so it does not increase a woman's risk of breast cancer.
You know what? I think I speak for, myself and Lauren and probably most listeners right now. You said a lot of things that kind of went over my head and we should unpack just in that one statement. And the first one I wanted to really address was you as a doctor and as a woman were kind of unfamiliar with the effects or the symptoms of menopause. And I just find that a little crazy because I know for sure I am. Lauren, are you? Do you have any idea about menopause?
All I know is like hot flashes, right? Like that's what you're from right. my
and
mom.
That's and what, it happens and when you're older. And that's what most women know. And actually most doctors only think of the stuff related to the gynecology of hormones, right? So the lack of having a period, right. The lack of estrogen, you know, having hot flashes, night sweats, like you see women breaking out. But there's so much more than that. We actually have receptors for estrogen and progesterone on every cell of our body, not just on our uterus and our breast. That's in our brain. And so when the hormones start shifting, we have different symptoms. So some women get anxious or, you know, gaining weight, their memory starts going, sleep is lighter, they're peeing more often. There's so many shifts that actually happen, and libido wasn't one of them.
Right. And I just find it weird that we don't talk about this.
Right. Well,
so it's very psychological and physiological, though. I think that's something that isn't chatted about a lot, is the psychological aspect of it, but then also like the libido.
Well, the thing is so estrogen, like each hormone has an effect on the brain and also a different neurotransmitter. So estrogen is helps with acetylcholine, which has to do with your memory and cognition. And it also relates to serotonin, which is your happy hormone. So women, as that hormone starts dropping or fluctuating, may have problems with mood and memory and executive function to some degree. And progesterone is your natural tranquilizer and sleep aid. And it's one of the first hormones to start going out of the window. So what do people notice is that their sleep's interrupted, they have lighter sleep, they're more anxious, they're more irritable, and just it's not that they have a Prozac deficiency, it's they have a progesterone deficiency. But again, regular medicine doesn't really kind of address those symptoms of perimenopause, and often, and because they're scared of the WHI, they don't appreciate the difference between natural progesterone versus the progestin that they often prescribe.
Right. So that's interesting. I feel like I just learned about progesterone and estrogen way more than I ever really realized I knew or didn't know. I've heard those words countless times, but I don't think I've ever understood what purpose they serve.
Which is a little ridiculous, don't you think?
But this is, and this is the thing, and this is partly why we wanted to chat, because, like, I feel kind of embarrassed to say, but as a woman, like, I don't really know if I know enough about my own body, what happens inside.
And what's to come.
Yeah, exactly. What is to come as I age? I'm 36, so I'm not, like, I'm entering a different phase. So it's kind of crazy that it's just, unless you do the research, because it's certainly not something that we're really taught in school, very surface level. So unless you're really, like, talking to your doctors, doing the research on your own, I don't know how many women are really, like, fully aware of, like, all these things, or until it's happening.
Exactly.
To you, right?
Like, I think.
But even then, the problem is they're not aware. That's why it's shocking, or they go into it kind of naive, kind of, you know, it's unclear what's going on to their bodies, right? Yeah.
No, there's so much going on. And that's why, like, you know, people come and seek me out, because they're, you know, all they know is they're not feeling like themselves and they want to feel good again. And so that's where I educate them and help replace their hormones. And I also am a big believer in replacing deficient nutrients. So we're all genetically predisposed to be low on certain nutrients. So whether that's B vitamins, vitamin D, or other nutrients. And then, you know, it's kind of like, not to equate us to a car, but essentially when you have a brand new car, you know, all the spark, like everything's working properly, the spark plugs,
all nice and new.
And then as time goes on, things start breaking down or not working as well. And that's about replacing whatever's not working anymore. And it's the same thing in our body. So when we're young, we get away with murder in a sense, because we have duplication of services. And then as we age, some of those start falling away. day and they're not working optimally, and all of a sudden, what do we notice? I'm not feeling the same. My energy's low. I'm gaining weight. My brain's not working. And that's where it's like we're called in to be more straight and narrow, eat better, exercise, replace those things that are not working properly. And a lot of the things I talk about go back to the Krebs cycle, things that we learned in grade 10. What are the nutrients we need for energy and for cells? And often that's what I do, is I replace those things and boom, people feel better.
And who remembers what we learned in grade 10?
Yeah, A, that. I don't. But also I think it's like what's not continued in life as you age is like that maintenance conversation about equating it back to a car is you have to maintain your car. You have to get your oil changes regularly or your car will like stop working properly. But like what, like you said, when we're young, you don't think about it because everything's working. You're feeling good. Yeah. You're feeling great. You're looking great. You have energy. You have a sex drive. And then you just don't. And you're like, well, what happened here? Like, I haven't really changed my lifestyle. It's just changed. So I, again, going back to the education or lack thereof, it's just like understanding like that maintenance. And I do think there's a small population, and I'm speaking more about North American like populations and cultures, that we just aren't like aware of it. And so, I mean, since you specialize in those areas, is that what kicked off Vitality MD?
Yes. So basically it started off with my journey, right? Because here I am, you know, high risk for breast cancer because of my mom not wanting to do hormones, but then realized I wasn't feeling well. I hoped to live for a really long time and I needed to know what do I need to do to make myself feel better. And through my education and playing with supplements and hormones and certain tests that aren't conventional and finding out what information we get from them and doing a whole bunch of things with genetics, realized that, hey, I can make a shift in people's health by replacing deficient nutrients, balancing hormones, reducing stress, getting people to eat better, you know, exercising. So it was sort of like, wow, okay, I can educate people, but then I wanted a place to offer the services. So that's how Vitality came into fruition. It was like, you know, it's a one-stop shop. So like upstairs, we did Pilates, we did dance, we did cooking classes, we had, you know, community events. And then the main floor was sort of the medical. And so it was me and my team who help women with the replacing deficient nutrients and hormonally balancing. And then we also did IV therapy. And then we actually got into doing more things to help with women's libido, because not only was my goal to help people, but it was like, I really want to help give women their desire back and that ability to have that big O. Why that was, I don't know. Because for me, it was something that was important, you know, because that's an important connection with someone. And if like for no reason other than your hormones or your nutrients are off, that went out the window. And back to just the other piece of Vitality. So we also work on the aesthetic piece too. So we have a beautiful Medi Spa that, you know, so it's kind of fixing inside and out. So that's how Vitality came to be. And then for me doing this for about 10 years was now, okay, let's work on women's libido. Because with what I was doing before, I made women feel better. And I do men as well, but women, like I would say, is 80% of my practice. So, you know, I would replace their hormones. I, you know, there's tricks up my sleeve that I can do for women for libido. So adding in testosterone, I played with oxytocin, DHEA, and, you know, got, you know, from here to here. But then it was like, okay, men are so much easier. Like, you know, you give them a little testosterone, a little Viagra. Oh my God, they're happy as can be in like, you know, marital disconcord, because his is up here and hers is down here. And I wanted to, you know, level off the playing field. And, you know, women didn't have a lot of options. Like they, you know, they use testosterone off label. They played with DHEA, but it still hasn't come to real market unless a doctor like myself compounds it.
All strictly to help with libido or sex drive?
Correct. And like okay. they have other benefits too, because I told you every hormone has effect on every cell in the body. So when I give testosterone, it's not just for libido, but it's energy, body composition, memory, self-esteem, assertiveness. Like there's different pieces.
And I feel like I need all of these things.
I know.
Right.
Before menopause.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
Today.
Well, that's where coming in and having hormones assessed and checked out and see how things are. And then, so anyways, back to those are the things that I was doing. And even sometimes just restoring a woman's hormones is helpful and making sure the vagina is happy, because when it's really dry, you know, sex is painful yeah. and that's not a good thing.
And the hormones would increase like
lubrication.
Lubrication, right. So sometimes you need like systemic hormones, but sometimes you can get away with just local estrogen down there, or even testosterone or other hormones actually help with vaginal dryness and rejuvenation. So that's a big piece. And then, you know, in the more recent past, we've added in the O-Shot and Vivive. And I am so excited about it, because it really has taken, you know, from the, you know, we were down here, got to here, and now we're getting up here, and it's so good. Like, you know, and, you know, yeah. having a good sex life, or even just a good orgasm, really, like, that in itself releases a whole bunch of endorphins and makes you happy, right? So people are happier, like.
Makes a lot of sense.
It affects other parts of our lives, right?
For sure. Jess is our resident sex girl. Like, she's yeah. all about it. She is the queen of having good orgasms and is very open about it, and
yeah.
feels that it is something that every woman should be having. And if you're not, like, you need to figure it out. And I mean, again, there's like so much to unpack here, because you've like given us so much
our info, minds are a little blown.
Yeah, I think we're Jess and I are like, okay, first, when do we make the appointment to come see you?
Yeah.
Second, how
I'm not waiting till menopause for this.
No, but actually that's one of my questions.
Well, actually, so that's the good thing, is the O-Shot and the Vivive doesn't have to be for when you're menopausal. In fact, so let's talk a little bit about, we're gonna talk about the O-Shot and we'll talk a little bit about the Vivive, and then who can benefit, right? Right?
Yeah, so I first saw the O-Shot from Blake. You gave her the O-Shot, Blake, from Flow 93.5, and she's definitely not menopausal, so that means no, young she's people not. Can have it too.
Right, so anybody can have the O-Shot. So what the O-Shot is basically putting PRP down in the private area.
What's PRP? PRP? Yeah. Right.
Don't worry. You're ahead of me.
She's a
PRP
pro.
PRP is platelet-rich plasma. So what it is we do a blood draw, and then we spin the serum to get the growth factors, and then we're injecting them. So, you know, for the vampire facelift, we're injecting it back in the face to rejuvenate the face. And, you know, people inject it into the joints to help with arthritis. But essentially, the O-Shot is we're injecting it into the private area. And we strategically put it in different spots to do different things.
Yeah, I was going to say, where in the private area? Like, internal?
So basically, what we're doing is we're injecting into the clitoris. And it ends up, the clitoris isn't just the little nub at the top, but it actually has legs that goes around the vulva. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm filling, like, not all doctors know how to do this, right? So when I do the O-Shot, or not me, but my team, that we are injecting that whole organ with PRP that's going to help rejuvenate it. So it has stem cells, growth factors. So it's kind of bringing you back to a younger age. And then it's also injected under the urethra. So it helps with stress urinary incontinence. And also, depending on dryness, and, you know, some people have vestibulitis, which is inflammation of the opening of the vagina, and sex can be very painful. Or they might have something called lichen sclerosis, which is an inflammatory condition that's sometimes precipitated in perimenopause and menopause, but sometimes can happen at any age. And again, sex can be uncomfortable. And because we're injecting in that area, it sort of rejuvenates and it helps the immune system in there, and it heals lichen sclerosis and the vestibulitis. I have a friend who hasn't had sex in 2 years because it's uncomfortable. And we've done 2-0 shots now. And she's like, wow, things are rejuvenating. And what was really cool about the O shot is like, it obviously helps with vaginal dryness and lubrication and sensitivity, but it also increased desire, which was beyond me. Cause like, why rejuvenating down there should affect up here, but somehow it does. And it also could be, you know, you have better sex, you want it more.
Yeah. It's not hurting or crappy.
But I actually think the desire happened before the better orgasms. So hell, I don't know. I don't know how everything works, but I know that it does. The O shot, you can get away with one, but I would say really if you want better orgasms and sex and everything, you're looking really at 2, maybe 3 is the ideal. But again, like maybe in yourselves, like young patients who just want to improve things to take it to the next level, 1 might be sufficient. But if you have like the medical condition or more hormonal disruption, so that's where, different clients may need different amounts.
So younger people probably just the 1, and then that
would top it up and do a very nice job. And you know, but again, some women who after having baby have leaking, and they might get like significant benefit with 1, but maybe the 2 or that 3rd down the road really keeps them good and no more leaking. So,
well, again, it's kind of like maintenance, right? Like if you are someone,
right, because we're still aging, chooses, and if you're still eating shitty and doing other things, like number 1, PRP is best when you're like clean and narrow, right? Because it's your own growth factors. So if you're sick and you're taking your growth factors, you're still going to be better than what you were. But if you are healthy and you know you're eating clean and you're not toxic and whatever, then you're going to have better PRP too. So like is benefit to doing a wellness program and incorporating the O shot kind of thing, right? So the more healthy I make, the more you feel better generally, and then your PRP is better, and then you better have better outcomes. So that was the O shot. And then there's the Viviv. And so the Viviv is a radio frequency device that basically also creates more collagen and elastin, and it also helps with stress urinary incontinence. In fact, we've seen where it's treated a patient, and that night they stop leaking. Like their husband made them laugh, and usually they leak when they're laughing or whatever, and they were laughing their head off and no more leaking.
And when you say leak, just to clarify, just in case any of our listeners.
Stress urinary incontinence, so leaking urine. So when women, you know, a lot of women after having a baby or sometimes just have loose collagen that they with coughing or sneezing or jumping or whatever, they leak.
That happened to me after my 2nd child. It was something
we heard about Lauren's stories.
Yeah. Right. So that it would help with that as well. So both the O-Shot and the Viviv, but the Viviv I would say is much more effective, but it's like they're all good, and also combining them is really good, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So let's go back to the Viviv. So the Viviv helps the stress urinary incontinence. It helps with vaginal laxity. So after having a baby, your vagina's changed, right? So things are looser. They're not the same tightness they were. And even women who've had C-sections, if that baby was all the way deep in there, you may still have changes that happened in the vagina.
Take notes, Jess.
And I know. Basically the with the Viviv, it creates that collagen and tightness. And so, and it also because the way we do the Viviv, we also treat the G-spot area. And so it's tightened there and more sensitive. Cause like before having, again, I'm the guinea pig. I try everything out before I decide it's okay to, you know.
Yes. And we thank you for that.
Yeah.
And the Viviv, like I never knew what the fuck a G-spot was. Like, you know, when we would say like, oh, try this position, this is good for the G. And I'm like, yeah,
whatever,
does nothing. Yeah. And now it's like, holy shit.
Well, so, actually, why don't we talk about the G-spot a little bit for people, because I think how you felt is a very common thing for women, where we're not really aware of our G-spot, which again is mind blowing because it's our fucking vaginas. How do we not know? But we don't.
I think people are, there's two sides of the fence with the G-spot. Some people are like, that's not a thing, it doesn't exist. And then more experts or people that, you know, well, actually
people that know
that know are like, yes, it is. And then,
so yeah. It definitely exists. But again, it's really about, so it's a grouping of nerve endings that kind of have a little mound. And so when you stick your finger in the vagina, like, and again, it's unfortunate, it's not in the same spot for everybody because again, anatomy is very different. But if you put your finger in, and the vagina wall has rugae, like pouching and whatever. And then when you feel it, all of a sudden there's a grouping of them.
You can feel it very distinctly.
A little more like you have to pee when you put your finger over the spot, and you think, well, that's not a good feeling. No, it's not. But but essentially, so that's where it is, or relative where it is. But again, like, because of vaginal laxity or anatomy, that it may not really get stimulated during intercourse, or if it is because it's immature, I don't know what it is, but basically I can tell you from before to now, it's a huge difference. And so, wow. So
you're having G-spot orgasms? Perfect.
Yeah, thumbs up.
That's a thumbs up.
That's, no words needed, just a thumbs up.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that that's something important to note because, like we said, people don't even know if the G-spot exists, let alone that you can have different types of orgasms, not just from, like, clitoral stimulation. Right. So, which is a totally different feeling, right?
And also the other thing is with the Viviv is your partner notices the difference as well, because all of a sudden they're going in and they have way more contact. And so it's like a win-win for both parties.
Which is only going to benefit your sex life. And
right.
Yeah, bring it. And we've talked about this on a couple episodes. It's just like how important is the sex life in a relationship, because I think a lot of people get complacent, and this is really important in terms of what we're talking about today, because when women have a lower libido or their sex drive decreases or they're just not feeling themselves, like we've already chatted about, it could be though because of hormones. And then, but I think so many get stuck in this kind of rut of like, well, that's just part of aging, or that's what happens after you have kids, or like, that's just my body.
Especially then, when the physical does accompany it, like, you know, the dryness or the pain or whatever, right?
Weight gain, things like that. And you're just feeling overall crappy. Like,
right. So I think, like, you know, because I've been all over, right? So I went through a period where you know, my libido was down, and, you know, women are very different than men in the first place. Like, I think I told you before, is like men, it's like they can have the worst day of their life, get shot in their leg, and still manage to get an erection. And then they actually have to concentrate not to have an orgasm. Right.
Right.
And women were dials and knobs and were complicated. And, you know, even if we actually might want to have sex, but then we're thinking about our laundry list, or your husband or partner did something to piss you off or whatever, we have so many more killjoys.
Much more psychological,
right? Yes. And so, you know, so again, so, you know, I went through a period where I was stressed, I was working like a dog trying to create the clinic, or whatever was going on in my life. My hormones were low because I was perimenopausal. And, you know, so I went through this period where, okay, I don't really feel like it. And I felt so bad. And, you know, my partner still wants to do it. And then it's kind of like, okay, so I don't have desire, but if he initiates, I'm a little more receptive. But then, you know, it's like this mind fuck that happens right between a relationship. And then it's like, okay, what do you do?
And then it's like cyclical, I think, right? Because the more that it happens, the worse that you feel, the worse that it gets. And then it goes longer. And then,
right. And then you want to be supportive for your partner and your partner's both ways, right? But so this is, hey, if we can make everybody you know, with the same menu or desire, that's way better, right?
Yeah, because we had a sex coach on, and she mentioned, you know, she's a therapist, so she's not going to say you guys need to break up, but she mentioned that when the sex drives are kind of mismatched, it's really not a good sign for the future of the relationship. And for some reason, and we talked about it then, it doesn't seem to be a priority a lot of the time, or like, you know, something that's noticeable or something that people address right away. Like, the sex drive is off, let's figure this out right now. It's usually what that leads to, which, you know, an affair, whatever it could be, is when they decide to address the situation instead of in advance, which could be preventative for worse things happening.
Right. But also there's couples who have the same desire that are both low and they're happy right. within a sexual relationship.
Right.
Like, everybody's different. So we can't judge. We're just giving them opportunities to sort yeah. of say, would you like to change things? There's an opportunity here. Because I think, like, you know, when I approached my doctor a couple of years ago and sort of said, hey, this is what's happening. Like, I got, oh, well, you know, you guys have been together for a really long time.
Was your doctor a man or a woman?
A woman. And she, you know, whatever. And then, oh, you should need to make date night, or, you know, if you want to speak to a sex therapist or something like that. And I'm like, I have no issue with my partner. We have date night all the time. It's something's going on in my
on the inside.
Body. I need to rejuvenate that. So
but that's so crazy because that's why we wanted to chat with you. Like, this is the problem. I think for the younger generation, like, you know, we're a little bit more in tune. For women, they're especially more like open about their sexuality and being sexual and enjoying sex and pleasure and all that. But for the generations before that, like, it's still kind of taboo. It's a conversation that I think is really awkward for women to have. I don't know if I'd be super open to having that conversation with my doctor even now, who is a male. Great doctor, been my doctor my whole life, but it's just, we're not on the same level. Like, we're from two different worlds, essentially. So me talking to you about potential, like, lack of libido, I don't know if I would feel like this is the right person to talk to. And then you talk to your friends and everyone kind of has that same response where it's like, well, you guys have been together forever, or like, oh yeah, well, you've had kids. Well, that's normal. And I feel like for women, it kind of gets passed off as, well, that's normal. That's what happens. That's what you age. I think if I asked my mom, she would probably say that.
Yeah.
I know that she's done some. Yeah. And also, that is expected. That's kind of like the status quo for women. Well, yep, that's what happens. Oh, well, men, you don't really have that problem. Maybe later, maybe you'll be unlucky and suffer from erectile dysfunction for whatever reason. Well, there's a pill for that. Like, it's just, for us, we really want to have that conversation to let people know that there is options and it isn't necessarily, quote unquote, normal. And
you don't have to settle.
Yeah, you don't have to just be like, well, I had great sex in my 20s and 30s. Now I don't.
Like, I'm 45, I'm done. No, you got a lot of life to live.
I'll just deal with this mediocre sex because that's what I'm supposed to have, like, so says society. No, that's not true. And that's the other thing. Like, just because you hit a certain age doesn't mean you all of a sudden are like, well, can't have sex anymore. I've hit this age. Sex does not apply. Like, obviously, women and men probably mostly want to have sex for as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, girls, we want you to be having sex well into your senior years.
Also, not just sex, like orgasms.
Orgasms.
Yeah.
Sorry, I should put a disclaimer on that. When I say sex, I only mean orgasms. Like, all the time, you should always be having orgasms if you're having sex.
All of the time.
And so, you know, back to the Oshod and the Viviv, what's really nice about that combination, using them together, because one is rejuvenating in a different way than the radio frequent, like the Oshod versus the radio frequency. The Oshod sensitizes the clitoris and the Viviv sensitizes the G-spot. So, and then they both help with dryness. They, you know, the Viviv helps with the vaginal laxity. And even if you really don't, still using the treatment, like, we have different protocols that we can do different things and still get, like, such a successful outcome. And also, like, there's going to be other clinics out there who do Oshods or the Viviv or other treatments. I think what sets Vitality apart is that, you know, this problem isn't a one-trick pony, right? It's not just one thing. It's really about, you know, general health and well-being, educating, replacing deficient nutrients, replacing the hormones if appropriate, or balancing them, because there's tricks on how to balance them without actually giving hormones. And then, you know, doing other things to help that libido and desire and that ability to orgasm.
But they also, and I don't obviously know about the other clinics that offer these treatments, but you're in the clinic and you have tried everything. So you are someone that people could say, like, how does this work? Did it work? How have you felt? Like, I think that makes a big difference, because maybe other clinics, and maybe if I said, hey, doc, to my doctor, is this available? I don't know. He could possibly offer it, but he certainly wouldn't have tried it. So, right. I mean, it's not like he could be like, you know what, this is going to change your life or do wonders. But additionally, with that, is I think people like your patients maybe are having success also because if you are feeling like more sexual, you feel better in your skin. If you're feeling sexy, mm-hmm. you feel more confident. It's obviously such a huge, like, multi-beneficial treatment, because it yeah. isn't just about the sex or the orgasming. It's about, like, your overall, like, now I feel like myself again. I feel good. I feel desirable. I feel desire. Like, that's something that women struggle with, period. Just feeling correct. Good about themselves.
And we know that if you want to layer in that stress urinary incontinence, yeah. like how much that affects people's self-esteem. And it's like, oh my God, like, you know, to fix that in itself with forget about the orgasm piece, like that is huge.
Just not
so like as a benefit, like I'm going to fix that and that. So,
you know, I think the first step is awareness. The first step is reaching out. So even just the fact that they have an option or someone to talk to where they could potentially get help, I think is a huge step and a huge, like, little bit of a boost for your self-esteem, like at least having options. Otherwise, they sit there feeling really helpless, like, this is it. This is my life. And I'm going to pee whenever I laugh and never going to have an orgasm again. And, like, that fucking sucks.
Well, also then your partner, so two things there. Your partner would be like, okay, I'm not pleasing you anymore. Like, if you are, you know, with someone, that obviously is going to, again, put, you know, stress on the relationship, because I think for, you know, if you have a good partner, they're going to feel like crappy or feel like they're not doing yeah. the job. And then it's like, yeah, or do you not, tough. Are you not attracted to me? Are you not, do you not feel sexy with me or whatever the case may be? And so now two people are feeling like just blah about the idea of sex. And then the other thing is, we talked about urinary incontinence. I find it interesting that, you know, on any given channel, there's pads, there's diapers, there's things for women to deal with that. And, oh, look how discreet this one is. And it has flowers on it. Like, that is not the shit I want to see when I'm getting to that age. That is not going to make me feel sexy. Let's talk
about prevention instead yes. of, you know,
dealing why are with we not it? Having O-Shot commercials? Like, and Dr. Cherry, yours is the only thing. Like, that's how we learned about it, because of your yeah. commercial
right.
on the radio. And so why are, like, let's have those commercials out there. Let's have you on TV being like, this is what you need. So you don't even have to worry about the diapers.
The stupid, like, diapers. The oh, my
but
God.
But then you flick, again, any given channel, Viagra, Cialis, all the things. That's not, like, taboo. That's right in your face.
Right.
You're having erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, don't worry, buddy. We got you. But for women, yeah. we're still living in the taboo. We're still living in the stigma. And I think that there's so much that's psychological about this. Like, we're supposed to just, you know, deal with accept. It. We're supposed to just accept, or we're supposed to just step up and, like, still please, and the guys can just have a little pill and it's all good. But there's just so much that's not talked about, and especially in class.
No, it's true. And then, like, we're at the 25th anniversary of Viagra being released, right? And, like, how many drugs are yeah. on the market for women? There's, like, two now on the market. One is that you have to take it every single day, and then there's risk of dizziness, fainting, and feeling unwell.
Nice. Add that to
get
the list.
One more satisfying sexual experience in a month. I mean, that's not great. And then the other one's an injectable, but can also have side effects. And again, isn't always a home run. So, and sorry, and that injectable one's still not available in Canada.
So we
and
have
there you go.
Only the O-shot option, basically. And we're lucky for it.
Right.
And is that something that is only offered at, like, specific clinics? Like, is there, you know...
Well, I think it's basically whether a doctor chooses to have an interest in it. And then, so there's a lot of doctors who learn how to do the O-shot that aren't necessarily familiar with the women's anatomy, and hopefully their training is sufficient to do it right. I mean, I'm a women's health specialist. I've looked at a lot of vaginas. And I know what to do, and so does my staff who are doing it, right?
But that's kind of scary to think about it, though, even if it is
no,
something
like
that's
I
offered.
Have, like, there's a pain specialist offering, you know, G-spot, or, I mean, the O-shot and whatever, and with no real women's health, you know, training. So there's, you know, plastic people. Like, you know, there's different doctors doing it. So when you're doing your research, you want to go to someone who really appreciates the anatomy of a woman's vagina, because getting the shot in the right place is really important. And someone who has a track record, you know, for helping women.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like, I wouldn't want to walk into any old clinic and be like, I want the O-shot. And they're like, well, okay. And they might not really know what that is. And I'm certainly not putting down the medical professionals, because thank God for all of you. But at the same time, you are just human too, right? Yeah. And I mean, I've never seen one single thing in my doctor's office, any pamphlets, anything.
So most regular docs aren't in it. So it's usually either someone who may be doing Botox and filler might know more about the O-shot because they're familiar with...
Even if they don't offer it, it should still be something that is available to read about.
Even for myself, like, I've known about the O-shot for 10 years, and I've had colleagues in the U.S. say, oh, you should do the O-shot, you should be trained, you know, da-da-da. And for me, I wasn't comfortable yet to do it, you know. And again, I was working on these other pieces, kind of putting the bricks and mortar together so that people felt better before doing the O-shot. And then, you know, it was like, okay, I've done that really well now. Now let's start with the next level.
So where did it come from? Like,
so there's this Dr. Charles Runnell, who is the, you know, the one who trademarked the O-shot. So PRP isn't new. It's been known for a long time, but he happened to be the one who trademarked the O-shot and the P-shot, which is for guys, and also the vampire facelift. So he was more about the, you know, actually, if you read his book, it was on his girlfriend who sort of like, hey, why don't you put it down there and let's see what happens. So she really should have gotten the...
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm surprised Amanda did this.
She should have gotten the credit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's him. And then he sort of offers training and, you know...
Is he out of the U.S. or European?
He's out of the U.S., correct, yes.
And so you have been offering this for how long now?
We've been offering it in the clinic since about January.
Oh, so it's pretty recent.
So it's about a year, but we've even through COVID, we've done well.
I bet people were still lining up for it. Are you finding that you're really busy giving them?
Well, again, so part of it was we started the commercials, we started getting really busy, COVID hit, and then it sort of quieted down, and then the commercials started again, and then people started coming back in. And then it's really word of mouth, right? Because once you've feel good and better about something, that's when you start telling your friends and your friends and your friends, right?
Well, absolutely. So, and I think this is
I haven't done any commercials for the Viviv yet, but that should be coming out. But yeah, I think the Viviv is also a phenomenal tool, and using them together is a home run. And as my commercial goes, turn that into oh my god.
But it's true, and I love that you did the commercials, because like I said, I wouldn't have even known about it until I had heard it, and then one day it kind of just like registered and I was like, okay, what is this? Because I need to know more about it. And then Jess and I had chatted about it, and she said she saw you or with heard Blake. It on the Blake from 93.5.
Well, she did like all of her stories. So she, you know, chronicles the whole thing.
Yeah.
And which I was like, this is freaking amazing. I love this idea. And then, of course, Lauren heard about it and we're like, yes, we need to talk to you about this.
Yes. And we were hoping that you'd be willing to do the show, which you were. And that's so awesome. But you're right with the word of mouth, because if I was someone to get it and then I had friends that we were having conversations about, oh, you know, like, yeah, I'm just not really like feeling it or whatever, like things are changing and even if they are having orgasms, it's just that desire is not to do with their partner either. It's just blah, like it's just not there. So I think even if this episode helped one person go and get the O shot, or at least go and talk to you and see what their options are, I mean, job well done for all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
This is the point of this conversation, is just like there are resources, there are options, there's tons of information. There's Dr. Sherry
at vitalitymd.com, 1769 Avenue Road. Yes. We have people coming from all over coming to see us, and we are COVID, you know, safe. We all wear masks. You're screened ahead of time. People's temperatures are done. So even during lockdown, because it is a medical thing that we are treating, we are open.
Amazing.
And when we did, we chatted before this call, but you had said that some of the conditions that the OSHA treats can be considered medical, because we were talking about how, since erectile dysfunction is like an actual known medical condition.
Well, so is women with low desire. So there's abbreviations, HSDD, hyposexual desire disorder. So it's a medical condition. So that's for when you lack the desire. And then there's also the inability to orgasm. Like, so we have all that. And stress urinary incontinence is a medical condition. Vestibulitis is a medical condition. Lichen sclerosis is a medical condition. Vaginal laxity. So all of those fit as medical conditions, and we're treating a medical problem. I don't want to really make it a problem, other, you know, because, you know, because when we have something in our head, it makes it more worse. But like, yeah, there's things that we can do to help women. And just like erectile dysfunction is a medical problem, that is not just one problem either, right? Like, there's reasons why men have erectile dysfunction. It could be psychological, it could be vascular, you know, there's medication induced. So there's a whole bunch of different reasons. And the same thing for women. Why do we have low desire or the inability to orgasm? There's, again, could be psychological, hormonal, nutrient deficiencies, anatomy issues, inflammation.
I don't mind maybe calling it a problem, only for the sole fact that people can and women can understand that this is not something just to settle with. Like, this is something that you should change. You do not have to, you know, settle for having a shitty sex life or something that is under your standards. Like you said, some people are okay with having, you know, asexual lives, and that's fine, that's good. But if you don't want that, then you can change it. So as people know that this is like considered a, you know, a medical problem, then they will, maybe that will help people be like, okay, you know what, I do not have to live with this. I don't have to settle, and I can change.
All those conditions that you've listed, I have heard of maybe one of them. And I think, you know, some women probably have a lot of those symptoms or are experiencing those issues with those problems and maybe don't know that there's a name for it. Like, I think we are also kind of conditioned to believe like that just happens as a woman, as you age, as your body changes after kids, like you just are kind of told that, these things can happen. Oh, well, like, you know, either it'll go away or
it is what it is now.
Or you can get some diapers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
there's always the diapers.
There's always the diapers. Or some of the other options that you suggested or not recommended, but mentioned are like the injection that isn't necessarily great or available, that they take every day or available. That's also kind of problematic. So I think just listing those out is really important too, because ladies, if you have any of these symptoms or, you know, you're experiencing some of these things, this
or
might
keep them
not
in mind for
be
later.
Yeah,
a bit it younger, might not, but
and it may not be something for you. But now that you know about it, and a friend starts talking to you and says, "Oh, I'm suffering from this," then you can sort of say, "Oh,
did you know that there's
options?
You probably didn't know. And, you know, Lauren and I talk about this literally every single episode. We are, like, our curriculums in school are just so limited. There's everything we talk about with our guests on the show, we think should be taught in school. And these things are, it's our body. It's like a normal process, menopause and things and changes.
I know, but you know what? The truth is, if you weren't in that headspace, you may not remember it or even think it, right? So it's kind of when they mentioned you start going through or realizing, wow, yeah, I don't know.
But I also, when you're going through it, when you're 45 or 50 or whatever, like, I don't even know. Do you remember?
So it starts as early as 38, honey.
Well, oh, no. Even still, do you remember? Sorry, Laura. Do you remember what you, like, studied in school 20 years, 25 years ago? That's the thing, right? We're not, like, it's not maintained the knowledge throughout our
lives.
Well,
maybe Dr. Sherry does, but we certainly don't, Jess.
No. Yeah, yeah. I think you know, but we definitely just don't know this stuff. So any little bit of awareness and education is, you know, we're laughing now that this is so much better than before this episode.
But also technology is advancing so quickly and all these different options becoming available are happening more and more. And obviously the older generations wouldn't know, even if it was something that was available, because it's just, it wasn't talked about. It isn't talked about often. And like my mom's generation, like she, like I think she's just started some hormone treatments not that long ago. And to be honest, I'm not actually sure what it is that she's trying to treat, but it's like a cream and I don't even know enough about it to even really talk about it. But like that's it. But I think that if her generation knew that these were options, like earlier on, a lot more women would be happier, more satisfied, have just different experiences. So this is generational, this conversation. Like we want everybody to know that pretty much at any stage there are some options.
And you know sorry Laura, but in 2 years you might be facing this, so it's good.
Well,
to be
I've already decided
prepared.
I'm going to go see Dr. Sherry in the new year anyway. I just want to have that conversation. Yeah. I want to have that consultation. I want to understand, you know, a little bit more about my personal hormones and could I benefit from any of
menopause
these
or
procedures.
Not And exactly. Oh my God, I'm not ready for you to get menopause yet.
Again, anybody who's just, you know, has had a baby, their vagina is different. And sex, I remember after my second or my third child that like I couldn't orgasm for 6 months. And it was like, oh my God, like what the, right? So, you know, some of it came back, but then, you know, and then on top of that had hormonal issues later. And so, yeah, young girls. Problems, unfortunately, can happen at any age.
Yeah, hormones are a lifelong situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we also see a lot of women with polycystic ovaries who hormonally aren't balanced and have a lot of sometimes high estrogen, but mostly high testosterone and side effects because of that. And believe it or not, even though they have high testosterone, they don't necessarily have good libidos either.
Interesting. I actually know someone with that condition, so I wonder if they even know that there is something other than, you know, I think they have some medication. Yeah, so I will tell them. But, I mean, this conversation was so informative, and, like, my brain is exploding right now, and I cannot wait to come into the clinic and
talk to you. We'll be seeing you soon, Dr. Sherry.
And like I said, you know, ask me anything. I can give you more information.
Well, you're someone I would feel comfortable to talk about all of those things.
Yeah, you're knowledgeable.
With. And you're a woman. And you've tried it.
Yeah, and you've tried it. So why don't you tell people where they can find you if they have questions for you?
Sure. So again, Dr. Sherry Kaplan at Vitality MD. The website is vitalitymd.com. You can phone us at 416-792-1100 or email us at info@vitalitymd.com.
And are you on social media?
Yeah, so Vitality MD Tour, I believe. So we're on Facebook, Instagram. I have a YouTube channel. So there's a lot of places for you to find out. I have tons of podcasts on the YouTube channel.
Great. So we'll link all that in our information on the episode as well. And as always, you can follow us at Herspective_podcast on Instagram. And again, thank you so much, Dr. Sherry. This was just awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.